First Timothy, the fourth chapter. We'll go back to what I began the week before last, before I got sick last week. Talking about doctrine is practical. We live in a society today where a lot of people are shallow thinkers. God has never called Christians to be shallow thinkers. He called them to be a thinking people, a thoughtful people, a meditating people. And that's what we're to do. As a matter of fact, it tells us on His Word, meditate upon my Word day and night. That tells us that we ought to be reading it, not only reading it, but thinking about what we read. It's not like a newspaper. We can read that and digest that and go on with it. But the Word of God's different. You know, you ever sit down to read the Word of God that you find yourself nodding off? That's because it's so meaty and so weighty. You get to reading it and it's so heavy with doctrine and teaching that our little minds can't hold out sometimes. Well, we can read a newspaper 2-3 hours or watch something with no problem. It's different when we come to the Word of God. And that's by design. It's because it's we should meditate upon it and know what it's teaching. But we live in a society today where they don't want any theology. They don't want any doctrine. They'll tell you that. We don't want to hear those things. We want our ears tickled. That's what they're saying. And I call it cotton candy religion. You know, cotton candy is this big old thing of cotton candy. You put it in your mouth and it sucks down to nothing. You got a little sugar there. The taste is gone. And it's gone just that quick. That's what I'm afraid too many people desire in today's society. But that's not what the Lord tells us about His Word. He tells us that we need doctrine. We talked about that the last time and went to the Great Commission to prove that point. That doctrine's critical. And Jesus himself, before he went away, leaves us with these words in Matthew. He said, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't stop there. You know, he tells, go make disciples and baptize. Some churches get that far, and they do that. But he continues on. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So he says, not only do we, our duty, our responsibility as believers is to make disciples, that we're to share the gospel. That's how we do that. We know God borns them again, but we give them the Word of God, and we try to minister to them as best we can. Tell them of the importance of being baptized. It's not a light thing. I think, again, that's another doctrine that's going by the wayside. There's not much emphasis put on it. A great emphasis should be put on it because of what it means. It represents what God has done inwardly, and we go down into the baptismal waters with that great testimony, one of the greatest testimonies we'll have in our lives is being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we know that it doesn't stop there because Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Teaching, we could look at that word again, and one of the definitions for that is to indoctrinate. There's that word again, doctrine. It keeps coming up. And that's all doctrine is teaching. That's what the word means. And so, again, we live in a society that dismisses that. They don't have time for that. But when we do that, we're dismissing the Word of God. And all that God says, I was looking in the concordance how many times doctrine or doctrines are used, and it's over 50 times in the Word of God. And so there's an importance on it. And each time you read that, sometimes it's talking about false doctrine, but for the most part, it's talking about the true doctrine or the true teaching of the Word of God. And we know as disciplined believers or disciples of the Lord Jesus, how in the world are we going to know who to follow or know more about Him or know how to serve Him unless we're taught, unless we're in the Word of God, learning doctrine or learning of the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And MacArthur wrote this little article, just a little piece, and I use that for an outline. He says that a lot of people would come up to him, even in his church, and said, you preach too much doctrine. We need something practical. And he was agreeing that, you know, practical application's vital. It's necessary too. But he said doctrine is practical. And he said all teaching, that's what it's saying, teaching is practical. If they say they don't need theology, theology is the study of God. I don't know of any Christian that doesn't need that. We were talking about that this morning, the love of God. How in the world are we going to even try to get our minds around the love of God if we don't esteem theology high or doctrine high? And so we find out that the distinction between doctrine and practical truth is just an artificial thing. Doctrine is practical. We can't live our lives without it. As a matter of fact, nothing more practical than doctrine. The instruction that Paul gave to the young preacher, Timothy, and then the instruction that he gave to Titus, this is one of the things that he said to him: hold fast the faithful word as you have been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. How are we supposed to convince others that God's word's true, or maybe they're stumbling or some things or some trouble they're having in? How do we help them correct that? The Bible emphatically teaches it's by sound doctrine, not just any teaching, but by sound doctrine. We do that, and this is where we find, again, Paul teaching Timothy. If you just go to that first chapter in 1 Timothy there, in the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 6, I want to kind of go down through that and kind of recap that, and we'll go on with the rest of the lesson this morning. He said, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some shall will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I want you to see that now. That's not only God's doctrine here. There's another doctrine here. It's the doctrine of demons, teaching of demons. And this is a false doctrine. And you can bet everything you have that Satan's busy teaching false doctrine. Oh, yes. He's filled churches up full of false doctrine. The world is deceived, and having been deceived, it says they'll depart from the faith. They might once have gone where the truth was preached or around truth seekers, but they themselves were deceived, not being his own, and so they were led astray by false doctrine. One of Satan's greatest tools is false doctrine, because we're shallow thinkers. And then we don't need to be shallow thinkers. We need to be deep thinkers. Departing from the faith, you understand what it said, but I'm going to read what MacArthur says here. He said, those who fall prey to the false teachers will abandon the Christian faith. The word, Greek word for depart, is the source of the English word apostate or apostatize, and refers to someone moving away from an original position. These are professing or nominal Christians, not real Christians, who associate with those who truly believe the gospel, but defect after believing lies and deception, thus revealing their true nature as unconverted. If we can be deceived, we will be deceived. If we can fall away, we will fall away. Is what Brother Conrad said, and that's true. He based that on biblical theology. So you see, even from a negative teaching, you see what teaching can do. When someone has a false theology or false teaching, you can see the damning effects that it can have in others' lives. And so we see that, and we begin thinking about that. When he talked about doctrines of demons, we want to understand what he's saying. He said, not teaching about demons, but false teaching that originates from them. To sit under such teaching is to hear lies from the demonic realm. Satan and demons, and listen to what he says here, Satan and demons constantly work the deceptions that corrupt and pervert God's word. What did he do when Christ was being tempted 40 days and 40 nights? He quoted the word of God, but he misconstrued it a little bit. He deceived, he changed a little bit to get his own means or his own satisfaction. And so we find again this false teaching. And so we talk about the title of the lesson is Doctrine is Practical. It certainly is practical to me. If I'm going to overcome false teaching, I'm going to need sound doctrine or sound teaching. And so I'm to pursue that. So how do we counter doctrines of demons? We counter it by what Paul goes on to teach Timothy. Look in verse 6. We'll just drop on down there. If you instruct the brethren in these things. Now again, Timothy's a young preacher. Paul's instructing him to instruct others. So anytime we see teaching, you know, some say, well, that's Paul talking to the preachers. We don't need that. We'll just thumb on through that. No, he's teaching that so they can teach us that we can teach you. So it's all for our good, and we'll see that as we go along here. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, the good teachings, which you have carefully followed. We don't ever get very far away from persevering in the faith, and that's exactly what that's talking about. We're nourished by the words of faith and of the good doctrine. False doctrine is not going to nourish us. It's going to lead us astray. Good doctrine is going to build us up in the most holy faith. And he said, not only there have you been nourished by that, but which you have carefully followed. It's not enough that we might learn the teachings, but we've got to apply them in our lives. Those things are manifest. If we begin to learn truth, then we're to embrace it and live in the truth. Again, MacArthur says this, continual feeding on the truths of Scripture is essential to the spiritual health of all Christians. In other words, if something's essential, I can't do without it. I can't do without sound doctrine as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must have that. I must embrace that. We go back to how God has instructed us to worship Him. Jesus said, God's a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, brethren, without sound doctrine, we can't do that.
Right.
We've got to have sound, fundamental teaching if we're to embrace what the Lord would have us to do. Matter of fact, God said He seeks such to worship Him that we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. Continual feeding on the truths of Scripture is essential to the spiritual health of all Christians, but especially of spiritual leaders like Timothy. Only by reading the Word, studying it, meditating upon it, and mastering its contents can a pastor fulfill his mandate. Timothy had been doing so since childhood, and Paul encouraged or urged him to continue. Words of faith is a general reference to Scripture. God's revealed truth, good doctrine, indicates the theology Scripture teaches. So we see that we can't do without it. It is very practical indeed. There are four things we'll touch on this morning. Seeing why doctrine is practical. It's building on the truth. Living by the truth. Departing from the truth. We'll see that. And hearing the truth. And we've touched on some of that already. I talked about the last time we were talking about, and I kind of embraced this a little bit on building on the truth. It was talking about how important that was and how we teach. If we're to instruct anybody at all, we must instruct them the way God would have us to instruct them, and that's through sound doctrine. You won't find Him going against that in any way. That's just the truth of God's Word. And so we see that, well, how do we understand that's the way we do? We talk about doctrine and we separate it from fundamental and practical. The first century people never did separate those things because they knew the fundamental was practical. If I understood the sovereignty of God, if I understood the way of salvation, if I understand God's dealing and how gracious He's been to me, then the outpouring is going to be practical because I'm going to praise God for those things. We talked about, Brother Lamar did the love of God this morning. That should stir up our hearts. What's going to be the effect of that? That was good, sound doctrine. That's the fundamental that he's talking about, how God has loved us. Well, what does that do? That makes me be practical in my Christian walk because I'm going to praise God for that. I think about those things and joy just builds up in you, especially as Brother Lamar said, when we look in the mirror and we can understand God's grace and God's love for us. It has that effect, and that's what we're getting at. Is doctrine is practical because it has that effect in our lives. And we talk about all that God had blessed Paul to do in his letter writing. You look at all of them. I talked about Romans last time. The first 11 chapters of Romans. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. What we call fundamental doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. The outworkings, how God has dealt, how he's procured salvation, how it's being worked out. Of the struggles that we have, all these things he talks about all the way through there is a basic theology. And then when we come to chapter 12 through 16, we find a practical outworking of that. It's not only in Romans, but it's in Ephesians, it's in Galatians, and in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Every one of those you're going to find that he starts with a fundamental aspect of it, and it ends up being a practical application as the letter goes on. That's just the way God works. He shows that over and over. When we see something over and over again, we say, that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. And so we begin to embrace that, and we certainly see that in Romans when he gets through all that he's talking about that God has done for us by his wondrous grace. Romans 12 begins in verses 1 and 2. We've heard this many times. I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's got that therefore, remembering what all has been said before, because God has done all these wondrous works for us and in us. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How is our mind renewed? By good, sound doctrine. The Word of God, the teaching that we get from the Word of God. And that's how we're renewed. We talk about this living by the truth. MacArthur says this, we have imposed an artificial meaning on the word doctrine. We've made it something abstract and threatening, unrelated to daily living, which is not so. That has brought about the disastrous idea that preaching and teaching are unrelated to living. You ever see that disjointed in a Christian's life? Someone that professes to know Christ, they'll tell you they go to church and they do all these things, but they are engaged in ungodly things. There's a disconnect there. And the disconnect is there's no sound doctrine or no application of what they're supposedly learning, what they're professing. If I say I'm a Christian, Christian means I belong to Christ. That's what I profess to be. Well, if I profess to be that, then sound doctrine should certainly be a deep aspect of my life. It should be made manifest. He said the scriptural context of doctrine includes the entire message of the gospel. It's teachings about God, salvation, sin, and righteousness. Those concepts are so tightly bound to daily living that the first century mind did not see them as something separate from practical truth. That's what I said earlier. They said it was one and the same. 1 Timothy 3:16, you don't have to turn there, but you'll know these scriptures. He said it contains what many expositors believe is an early church hymn. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. He said there in capsule form is the basis of all Christian teaching. Without that, no practical application matters. If I'm not walking in the truth, then it's not glorifying God. God is the truth. We find that Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has only one way, and that way is the way of sound doctrine. Now, we talked about those departing from the faith again in 1 Timothy. We read those scriptures again. He said, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. MacArthur says, lying, hypocrisy, a dulled conscience, and false religious practices all have roots in wrong or false doctrine. Can't come from good doctrine. Can't come from sound doctrine. So we have to have some teaching. We have to have some avenue, something that gives us an understanding of what's right and wrong. And that's good, sound teaching or doctrine in the Word of God. Again, some of the things that Paul charged Timothy to do, he said, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, constantly nourished on the words of faith. This is another translation of what we just read a while ago. And of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Again, it's 1 Timothy 4:6. And Paul says in verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. We see the importance now of this. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourselves and those who hear you. So salvation is connected to following sound doctrine. It's just that clear. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Not only to yourself, but to the doctrine. To that which you're being taught. How can we worship God in spirit and in truth if we don't know the truth of God's word? The only way we can do that is through sound teaching. And not only sound teaching, but continuing in those sound teachings, because he said in doing this you'll both save yourself and those that hear you. That's part of the salvation that God has worked in us being worked out. He says this to Titus in Titus 2:10, says that we adorn the doctrine of God. We adorn or we honor the doctrine of God. To adorn something is to dress yourself up in it. You know, we adorn our clothes. I'll put my coat on in a minute, and that's a way of adorning my coat. So we dress ourselves in the doctrine of God, in the teachings of God. Our lives are dictated, our lives are saturated in that, so that we might worship God in spirit and in truth. MacArthur says, when it comes to affirming sound doctrine, what we do carries far more significance than what we say. We said, we know that, don't we? Your words, your life speaks louder than the words you say. And so we find that to be true. And then hearing the word of truth, we look at that and we see now what he says about that. He said, true doctrine transforms behavior as it is woven into the fabric of everyday life. How are we to live godly lives? We must build it on the Word of God. The Word of God builds up our most holy faith. God has given us the book and given us everything that we need to live our lives to His honor and to His glory. Many mysteries remain, but what we need and is essential for worship to God and serving Him and one another is clearly mapped out in the Word of God. We can read and we can understand it. The Holy Spirit said, I will guide you in the way of all truth. In the way of all truth, not false doctrine, in the way of all truth, the good, sound doctrine, the sound teachings. That's why he says that true doctrine transforms behavior as it is woven into the fabric of everyday life. But it must be understood, if it is to have its own impact, the real challenge of the ministry is to dispense the truth clearly and accurately. Practical application comes easily by comparison. He said, no believer, listen to this, no believer can apply truth he doesn't know. I can't do something I don't know. I can't do it. I have to be informed. Doesn't matter what I'm working a job, in life, it all demands some kind of knowledge to be able to function in a far greater way. This is what we're talking about. I can't do for the glory of God what I don't know. The only way I'm going to know is read the Word of God, meditate upon it day and night, apply it in my life, and it become a part of me. It's part of what it means when it says Christ is your life. It's Christ-likeness that's coming out and manifest. He said, those who don't know the Bible's principles for marriage, divorce, family, child rearing, discipline, money, debt, work, service to Christ, responsibilities to the poor, care of widows, response to governments, eternal rewards, and other teachings will not be able to apply them. You can't apply what you don't know. Those who don't know what the Bible teaches about salvation cannot be saved. It's like that fellow in that dark continent. If he's never heard about Christ, if the gospel has never been preached to him, he can never come to saving faith in Christ. How in the world can he if he doesn't know Christ? Those that don't know what the Bible teaches can't be saved. Those who don't know what the Bible teaches about holiness are incapable of dealing with sin. You see, it's both. We can be like Isaiah and we can see holy, 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 and the first thing we think is I'm a man of unclean lips, because that's the way it's designed to be. That's what perfection demands. And yet, the Word of God tells us when we've been born again, to be ye holy as I am holy is what Christ said. And so, He's not going to command us to be something that we cannot be. So we can be. How do we be that? Through sound doctrine, through teaching, through theology, through understanding of the Word of God, through understanding He's called us to be holy people. When we understand that and the depths of that, then we begin to sin less, not more, you see. And so we embrace that. He said, thus they are unable to live fully to God's glory and their own blessedness if they don't have the knowledge of hearing the truth. And I'll leave you with this one thing. I saw this in my studies this week. Simple, two sentences, but very good for what I'm trying to teach this morning. He said, doctrine and theology are the lenses through which we examine and respond to everyday life. Doctrine, that is teaching, and theology, the study of God, are the lenses through which we examine and respond to everyday life. When I read sound doctrine, it tells me I don't need to do this or do that. This is what I need to do. That's the lenses through which I live my life. I'm to incorporate that in my life. If I'm caught up in some kind of sin, the Bible gives me the avenue through the Word of God is how to overcome that sin. It doesn't leave me in a place where I can be despondent. And so I find myself through that process fulfilling what we all know we're to be doing as God's children, and that's conforming ourselves to the image of Christ. And of course, God is doing that and using those means to do that. Doctrine and theology are the lenses through which we examine and respond to everyday life. Our understanding of God will inescapably shape our perspective on all our circumstances. What do you know about God, and how does that affect your life? You just think about that. How blessed we are to have, and not in a boastful way, but just blessed to just begin to understand the sovereignty of God. There's many people that use that word sovereign, they don't have a clue what they're saying. They don't have the first idea of who a sovereign God is. But when we begin to understand that as best we can understand it, and we have enough understanding to appreciate and know that God is sovereign, that He's taking care of us. We sang hymns to that effect this morning, that God will take care of us. Understanding that, not just here, but here, makes all the difference in the world in how I live my life. How does God show me that? But through the Spirit, we can say that in simply what? We can also say through the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Teaching. Sound doctrine. That's what we get when we read the Word of God, when we rightly divide it, and we begin to understand it. Doctrine and theology are the lenses through which we examine and respond to everyday life. We can't serve God without the Word. We can't understand it without having sound doctrine in our lives. God help us to understand that is my prayer for Christ's sake.